Everyone, so this is the Ineffable Mystic, and today we have our first Ineffable Mystic on the podcast. Her name is Leslie Levick, and she is a 500 experienced registered yoga therapist, certified yoga instructor, specializing in yoga for the 12 steps of recovery and yoga for traumatic brain injury. Welcome, Leslie, to the podcast.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here. How are you?
I'm good too.
I'm doing good.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do and what has your journey been like?
So I discovered yoga back in 2000 and what was it? 2010. I was in a very, very dark place in my life. I needed something. I didn't know what. I stumbled upon a yoga studio, and I just with my after my first class, I felt the healing that is in yoga. So after that, I just became so drawn to it, and I started practicing every day, and I essentially started to heal myself. And I thought to myself, this is such a hidden gem. I have to share this with the world. So I became certified. In 2016, I got my 200 hour, and then I got my 500 hour in, 2021. And I've worked with veterans, which I absolutely love. I love working with our veterans, people who are in recovery for any kind of substance abuse. I get so connected with them too. Like I've cried with them in session. Like it's so healing. And, people don't realize that a lot of people think, especially here in the Western, in the West, people think that yoga is just more like a workout and you just, you know, oh, like I'm not like I all the time I hear, I'm not flexible. I don't want to do yoga. And I always say, you don't go to the gym because you have muscles. You go to the gym to gain muscles. Yoga is the same way. You practice yoga so that you can gain your flexibility. And with that also comes a mind body connection. There's just so much more to it. To yoga in general. So I working with the people in recovery was very fulfilling. I loved it. And then I started working full time at a traumatic brain injury facility. And then I learned that there's a whole world of yoga that I've never even kind of tapped into. So then I started taking the trainings for yoga for TBI, and it's just a completely different style of teaching, which the TBI community is a little bit neglected in that regard. And it's so beneficial for them. The patients that I've worked with, I have seen drastic changes in their behavior, in their walk, in their just everything in their, like their stance. And even one patient who I always mention to people who ask me about this, she had a very severe spasticity. And after just a month and a half, her arm came from stuck like this, she couldn't move it, to like this. And now she can move her hands and she can grab things. And she wasn't before. And she was crying in the studio, saying thank you. And she was so grateful. And I love to see that type of progress. It fills my heart. And I feel like this is my calling. And this is exactly why I was put here. To help people. I was put here, I think, and I went through all that pain, that darkness to heal myself so that I can learn how to help others heal themselves. And so.
Yeah, that's kind of been my journey as well. So I came into spiritual sciences to find answers to healing for my father and for myself as well. My father was a doctor and he tried everything for his COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And he had like no signs of having COPD. If you did any test, you will get nothing, but he was just, you know, unable to breathe. So that is why I was drawn to the spiritual sciences for answers, and it just helped me heal my life, heal my health as well. So this happens with everyone, right? So you first have to heal yourself, and then you come to a point where you're able to help others. And so you would say your specialty is working with the traumatic brain injury patients, helping them
with it? Right now, that's where my passion is. That's where my heart is. The traumatic brain injury patients, they're just, oh my God, I get emotional just talking about it. I get emotional being there. And that's another thing that I have to be careful with, is because I get so I put my heart into it and to helping these patients, and I connect with them on a very deep level that sometimes I'm sure you're familiar with it. Everybody who does healing is empath fatigue or compassion fatigue. And so I have to take the time. I have to take time also after and just kind of ground myself and recharge myself so that I can continue, you know, because I put so much love into it. So yes, right now all I want to do is yoga for TBI. I think that these people really benefit from it, and in a place where they didn't really know, they don't really know. I mean, traumatic brain injuries can be all across, you know what I mean? Like, nobody knows how somebody's going to come out of a traumatic brain injury when they wake up, you know, or whatever. So the mind is so powerful, and I think that we forget that. So I just like to remind people.
Yes, and that's what makes it an important line of work because there is not enough awareness, right? So, what would you say brought you into this world, into the world of yoga? What exactly? And then, what exactly brought you into the world of traumatic brain injury?
So the world of yoga was whenever I was living in Austin, Texas, and I was suicidal. I was dealing with some severe mental illness, and I did not know what to do. I had no support system. I had no emotional support, family support, nothing like that. Everybody, you know, in my circle at that time was just very like, oh, it's all in your head. Oh, just stop being depressed. Like, and I was like, oh my God, nobody understood, you know? And so I did not know what to do. I tried to take antidepressants. I tried to take anti-anxiety medications, and I was a zombie. I remember one time I tried it because I didn't know. And so I went to see a doctor, and he said to me, he prescribed to me antidepressant, and I took one, and I was like a zombie. Like everything just looked different to me, and I became very drowsy, and I was actually homeless in Austin. So I fell asleep at a park in the grass, and it knocked me out. And it was just completely gone. And then when I woke up, the sun was setting. I was just like, I can't take this. I fell asleep in a public park. It was insane. So I stopped taking it, and then that's when I was just praying, trying to connect with Creator. Whatever the creator is, whatever the higher power is, I really don't know, but I do believe there is a higher power, but I don't know what it is, but I do believe that there is. So I was connecting and asking for guidance, and that's when I found the yoga studio, and I felt like this is what I need. And so that and it was. I'm better.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And that's kind of my tipping point as well. Being in those, rock bottoms and then praying to something out there. You just know that there is some power, but you don't know what it is. So you just speak to the sky or whatever, and then you find the next thing that you can step on to, right?
Absolutely. And I know, I don't know. People ask me, what do you believe? And I always say, I don't know if I believe in, I believe there is a God. I just don't know what God is, you know, but I can feel it. I can feel the power of whatever it is. I can definitely feel it. So I know that there is something. And so, yeah, I connect to that feeling. If that makes
Yeah,
sense.
me too. So when you started on this path, when you started working as a yoga instructor or a therapist, then was there any resistance around you? Were there any people who were against this, or they, stopped you from going to this line or something like that?
Oh my God, yes. So many, almost everybody. I do remember my brother, who's a doctor. And I remember again, it's when I first found yoga, when I first stumbled into the studio and I first started, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. But I had just started with it. So my brother, who went to far he's actually a pharmacist, he went to pharmacy school. I remember him telling me, because I started teaching classes, and he started telling me, what are you going to do with your life? Why didn't you go to, you should have gone to medical school. Well, you know, why did you drop out of nursing school? And you could have been a doctor. And what are you going to do? You're not going to do yoga for the rest of your life. Like, he was just like always talking down on it, you know, and my family too, like, oh, hippie yoga teacher. She doesn't know anything. Like, oh, she's just lost, and she should have gone to medical school. She should have became a doctor, like her brother. And I was always just like, but I don't want to be a doctor, you know? And so, oh yeah, my whole family, they were just always talking down on it and telling me and trying to get me to change directions and change gears. And I did it. In fact, we didn't speak for years, my family and I, because they thought that I was being rebellious and trying just being difficult and not wanting to do what they thought was best, for me, but I was doing what I thought was best for me. And so, yeah, I was met with a lot of that throughout the years. And then also, I had a boyfriend who didn't want me to get certified because he was jealous. He was saying that, oh, yoga's too sexy, you're in those tight pants. And so that was his like American mindset, And so I broke up with him. That was a deal breaker for me. I love yoga. Yoga's my passion. You can't keep me from it, So he tried and I ultimately ended the relationship.
Yeah, that was probably good for you, right?
I think so. I believe so. Yeah, because look at what I'm doing now with it.
Yeah.
It was just a weird guy insecurity, and I wasn't gonna let that keep me from it. So.
Yeah, and it's funny that you talk about medical school because I went to medical school. I
Yeah.
graduated and everything. I did my post graduation and then I came into spirituality and then everybody was like, "Ah, what are you doing? This is
Oh, really? So you had a
wonderful."
similar experience. Yeah.
Yeah, so I did it all and then I turned around and then of course, there was a huge resistance and they haven't still approved, I would say, because they just look at me from afar.
Yeah.
Right? So these were some of your biggest challenges, right? Anything else that comes up as a challenge for you?
I mean, of course, there's in trying to do yoga full time, it can be challenging, especially right now when it's starting to get recognized more, but it's still not at the level where it should be. And so trying to find a yoga teacher who just wants to teach yoga is difficult because you have to work at 20 different studios, running around all day just to, pay your bills. So that can be difficult, but there are it is starting to be recognized in medicine at, and I know that there's a code that you can bill now, insurances, for yoga therapy. So it's growing, and I feel so grateful to be part of the first that are doing it, because I think the code just came out, was approved, I think a year ago or something. But and I know it's new. So maybe it was a couple of years ago. But yeah, I know that it's new, and yeah, I'm just grateful to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's actually very good to know. I didn't know
Oh
that
yeah.
it's being coded into the insurance and everything now. And even things like acupuncture and all, they were not accepted before. And I have the same dream for even Reiki healing so
Yeah,
that I can get it into the medical system,
I think
right?
so
And the
too.
results are undeniable. They are able to see it right now, right?
I agree, absolutely. And I think the challenge is that, I feel like pharmacy, like big pharma, like they don't want people to be spiritual. They
Yeah.
don't want to, they want to sell you the drugs. And so that's where all the friction comes in place too, because there's always going to be like really big, powerful pharmacy companies trying to
Yeah.
probably like crash that. Like, no, like you need this medication. You can't do it on your own, But like if
You
people
can't
just,
heal.
yeah, but if people understand, like you
Yeah.
can,
Yeah.
there's so many things.
So, on your path, have you worked with any kind of mentors or coaches or teachers who might have helped you learn certain modalities or change certain mindsets that brought you to the place where you are right now?
Yes, when I first started yoga, the two instructors that I practiced with changed my life. They just gave me a different perspective on everything, on life and people and how to handle people. And then I started practicing that in my own life, on my own journey. And then in doing so, I began to align with other very like-minded people. And I have a friend now. I have a friend right now. She's probably my closest friend right now. And She actually moved to California, but she and I, whenever we have a problem, like something we can't solve on our own or something, we call each other, and she always gives me a different, like some kind of insight, and vice versa. So yeah, I think that, and I've met so many amazing teachers on my journey. I learned every time I go to a new yoga class, I learn something new from somebody, from a new teacher, a different teacher, you know. Even in I'm in Detroit right now, and there's this police officer who's also a yoga teacher. He's a police officer in Detroit, so you would never expect that. And he's got the tough guy. He looks like a tough, police officer, but he's teaching yoga. And I learn things from him all the time when I take his classes. So yeah, I'm always learning.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that again, as because I have a student of Reiki who is like a bodybuilder, and when he does Reiki, he's like all gentle and everything. So I call him like the gentle giant, the gentle
Yeah.
giant.
That's cute.
I think you should use it as a username.
Yeah, that's adorable.
Yeah.
Love
So, and I also want to talk about certain spiritual experiences that you might have had on your journey. Any
that.
spiritual, psychic experiences, or things that people call as paranormal. So, anything of that sort have you experienced in your life?
Oh yeah, my whole life. My whole life since I was a little kid, I just didn't recognize it. As a kid, I was a little kid, so I didn't really understand it. I was actually a little bit afraid of it. Like I would have premonitions, you know, like I would see things, and like what people would now call your third eye, right? Like I would see things at a very young age, and then I would see them happen, and I thought that like I was scared of that. Like why did I know that that was going to happen, or you know, stuff like that. And or even like I remember when I first started practicing, I used to work at the hospital. So I got out of work around 1 a.m. I would get home, take a shower, get in bed, and then I was already falling asleep, and I would just and all of a sudden just like my eyes shot open and I felt like this panic. And I couldn't stop thinking about my brother. And so I kept, and it was like 2 in the morning at this point. So I kept calling his phone, blowing him up, and he wasn't answering. And I got on my knees and I on my bed, and I was like, I like this. And I started praying and asking Creator to protect him, and just sending like just protective like for like 30 minutes straight the next day. And then I went to sleep. I was like, man, I'm just being paranoid. This is weird. I went to sleep. The next day, he told me that at 2 in the morning, he was leaving a bar with his girlfriend at the time, and they were being followed, and they stopped at a par empty parking lot. Everything was closed. It was 2 in the morning, and he got out of the car, and the guy got out of the car, and they had some kind of altercation. But around they were only there for like 5 minutes, and then police cars saw them, and like two police cars showed up and broke it up and left. And the guy had weapons on him, so I feel like maybe I know it sounds crazy, but I feel like me can I asking Creator to protect them sent those police officers there, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't sound crazy to me at all, because as a child, I also had used to have a lot of premonitions about people dying. And then when they would die, I was like, oh my God, did I cause it? You know, I was like feeling guilty about it, and then I got really scared about it. I also used to have premonitions about natural disasters, so earthquakes, floods, and everything. And I
Really?
started feeling scared that, like, as if I was causing them. So I kind of closed off for a few years. And now, like, I know that it's not something that I'm causing, but it's just that something I'm perceiving,
Yeah.
and I can basically use it to help people. So now I do all these psychic readings, and it comes very naturally to me. Like, I don't have to really practice or do anything, because it comes very naturally to me.
That's fascinating that you premonitioned natural disasters. That's huge. Wow.
So I used to feel like there hasn't been a long time since an earthquake came, because I live in an area where there are like a lot of earthquakes. I used to live in that area, and like every 2 or 3 or 4 years there used to be like a big earthquake. And so I used to feel that, and within like the next 15 20 days there used to be a big one. So yeah, it really scared me that I was able to perceive such a thing.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Yes.
and in life I've been like in so many times I've been in a very low zone of life where I didn't know what to do next, and in those times my intuition seemed like it's not working, right? That I cannot perceive anything. There is no help. Like the universe is not, or I'm not able to communicate with the universe somehow. So what do you do in those times when that happens?
I was just gonna bring that up too. Like, like for example, like how do you control it, right? Like, 'cause that's what I'm trying to learn too. I still haven't learned how to do that because like I'll sometimes have a feeling, you just said that, it just reminded me, like somebody's gonna die, you know, and I can feel it, but I don't know who. So I'm just in a paranoia like for days. And then I'll find out, you know, days later, like my grandma will call me, like, oh, my sister died, or oh, somebody in a family, a distant family member. Or one time it was somebody in high school who I was close with in high school. They died. They had an overdose. But every time I feel it, I hear of somebody down, I find out somebody's dead, you know. And but it's scary because during that time, I don't know who it is, and so I'm scared, you know. And I don't know how, I haven't figured out how to control it yet. I'm trying to learn as much as I can to be able to tap into my intuition a little deeper so that it makes more sense, you know, because right now it's just all over the place. But I still haven't gotten there yet, but I think that I will if I continue to practice.
One thing I found that you absolutely cannot control it when it comes to premonitions. So if you are tapped in, then you will perceive deaths and stuff like that. If it's going to happen with people who are in touch with you or were in touch with you at some point in life, you can't really control it. And sometimes it's their spirits or their higher self reaching out to you and passing on those messages. And that happened to me in a big way when my grandfather passed away. His higher self reached out to me like 1 year in advance and told me that whatever was going to happen. And then it happened 1 year later. And while it was happening, he was crossing over. At that moment, he visited me in like 2,000 kilometers away. I was on a trip. And his soul kind of enveloped me completely. So that was the time like he visited me properly. And that was a time when I actually started accepting this, that this was actually happening, right? And that I don't have to feel guilty about it. It's just the natural thing that happens, right? And when it comes to opening up your intuition in times when you are low, what I have found is that, use any kind of modalities such as yoga, breath work, Reiki, like a mindful workout to bring yourself back to your body and out of your mind. So once you do that, when your body relaxes, that's when you can actually tap into your intuition. And sometimes it's okay to even not tap into your intuition and just rest and just not do anything, right? I think that needs to be normalized as well.
I think so too. We need to know when we need to take a break and rest. You know, a lot of people are always go, 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 and they feel like they always have to be doing something. And sometimes you just need to just be, you know, like a tree, like nature.
Like nature, absolutely. Spending time in nature, especially, teaches us how you can just do the motions that you were designed to do on earth and you can be just fine. Like, you don't have to, like keep on thinking about future and all that all the time,
I
right?
think that, yeah, I think I heard somewhere, I could be wrong, but I believe it's a Native American practice that, I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's a Native American practice that they think that maybe you weren't supposed to do anything on earth and just be like nature is, you know, and just go through it, just be here.
I've heard that too, and I just feel like that's so profound,
It
and
is.
it has helped me a lot because I used to be so much in my mind as well before.
Same with me. I was brought up that you have to work yourself to death. You have to get up when the sun's up. You got to work your butt off until the sun goes down, and that's it. And that's it. And you do that until you die. And that's how I was in that habit for so long, and then I learned that no, you don't, you know.
So, do you have any client experiences or success stories that you can share so that people can know how important this work is that you do?
Client success stories. Oh yeah, well, with the TBI patients, like I said, that one patient that I had with her arm was stuck to her chest for years. She had her accident when she was 12. So her arm was stuck to her chest for years, and she was never able to move it. And then just little by little, she and I started stretching it and aligning the breath with the body movement. And just little by little, she started to, her arm started coming down. And her hand was like this. And then little by little, we would practice and started coming like this. And now her hand is like this. When be so it's open, it's completely open, and she can pick up things, and she was so happy that she was able to tie her shoes. She used to cry because she couldn't tie her shoes. She used to cry because she couldn't put her hair in a ponytail, you know, and she would cry at home because she only had the use of one arm when she had two arms. And so the fact that now she can, we take advantage of this, like, you know what I mean? We take advantage of being able to put our hair up or you know what, put our pants on, and like with, you know. And she, or tie her shoes, you know, she, and like I said, she's now able to do these things for herself. And I'm just so happy that she is. And another patient, TBI patient, he was depressed. Every time he started coming to me, he was just really quiet, just very serious. He just said he hates his existence. He hates the home that he's living in because he's living in a cuckoo home. And we started doing yoga together, meditating together, and was more breath work. It was more meditation and breath work more than the yoga movements. And he, after a week, the next week he came, he was leaving my studio, my room where I was, my yoga room, and he said, "This is working." He said, "My, I don't feel so helpless anymore." Those were his words. He said, "This is working. I don't feel like my life is so hopeless anymore." And I was just like, just touched my heart. And I was like, good. And he, nothing changed in his life. You know, he was still living in the home. He was still had the same people in his circle. All the only thing that he was doing different was do his meditating with me. It was changing his brain patterns.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when we are in our own life and in our own bubble, we are unable to see what's outside, right? So when a facilitator or teacher or somebody comes in and they help us see what's there outside, what's available to us, and that's really, really profound, right? So, what is one take-home message you would like to give to our audience?
I would say for people that haven't practiced, don't shoot it down until you try it. Because a lot of people are very resistant to it because they think it's like a, I don't know, I've heard so many things. They think it's just like, it's just stretching, or it's, you know what I mean? Or it's just some guys, men will say, oh, it's for girls, it's sissy. And it's just like, it's not. One of my friends who's a bodybuilder, I would always ask him to do yoga with me. He's always saying, no, it's like, I lift weights. Like, that's too easy. I'm not gonna. And he couldn't even last, not, he didn't even last 20 minutes doing yoga with me. And he was just like, wow, I didn't realize how hard this is. And I was like, I told you, I was like, your big muscles didn't save you here. It is a great workout, and it does start to change your perception. And like I said, the brain waves, the brain patterns, they start to like reconnect, like your memory starts to get better. But it's not like a, like if you take a pill and then you see results. No, it's a very gradual, it's a very slow, and you don't even notice the change. It's just, you just slowly start noticing. You'll be like 2 months in and think, hey, I don't feel anxious anymore, or I don't feel depressed anymore. You know, it's just like a very, if it's a very like subtle, slow,
Subtle,
but effective.
gradual.
Yeah, gradual, exactly.
And there have been so many synchronicities on this call because just today, just before this call, I wrote on Instagram about a post, and in the caption, I wrote like, yoga is not just stretching. So that's what I wrote in the caption.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's so true. And I wish more people, and don't be discouraged if you think you're not flexible, because that's why we practice. We practice so that we can gain flexibility. Yeah, you
I'm
have a
not flexible at all as well. My body is very rigid and all of that. But after I practice yoga every day, I can like really see the flexibility in me.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah. So where can people find you if they want to sign up with you?
My Instagram. Can I put it in the chat or
Yeah, we
it's
can put it in the caption.
okay. It's at LEV underscore LES.
Okay.
That's my Instagram page. And then I have a website that's adurihealing.com, ADURI healing.com. That's
Okay,
me.
thank you. So that's all for today. Thank you for being here with us today and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you for
And we
having
look
me.
forward to speaking again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.